that one is big, and COVID's made that one extra difficult. I want to encourage you guys to make sure you're connecting in ways that you can, especially our friends that are online. Make sure you're emailing and maybe video chatting with people, and make sure that we're connected as much as possible, because community is a big part of our spiritual walk. And COVID's definitely made it very hard. So there's things in our lives, just like Joseph's family, that we want to change. In his family, it was continual. Generation after generation, we saw favoritism. We see, you know, putting different family members higher, which means putting others lower. And there's things that we want to change, whether it's from our family or from our past, or whether it's all the way up to our present here. There's things we want to change, and those three relational resources, reading God's word, prayer, and community, help us a lot. So we need those three. We need the Christians around us that could encourage us to change those things that are difficult to change in our lives. We need to be in God's word. We need to be praying. There's young men in this small group at church. They're all sixth and seventh graders. And as I've talked to them and as they've answered different questions, I was telling Pastor Jim before the service that there's a direct correlation between how they feel connected to God and how much time they're in God's word. And they don't always see it. I try connecting it for them, but you know, several weeks ago they were asked a question about how often they read their Bibles. And it was directly there's a huge correlation, I guess, between that and that question and this last week's question of how close do you feel to God. And the ones that don't read their Bibles ever had really low numbers. And the ones that read their Bibles regularly had higher numbers. And so we need to be in God's word. We need to be praying. We need that community to help us. So what kinds of things do you want to change? What kinds of things do you want to change? Do you want to change for that relationship with God to be better? When I was born, I'm told that my dad was an angry man. And I say I'm told because just after I was born, some believers came to my dad and invited him to a Bible study. And my mom and my dad got saved, and they didn't want to tell the other one because they were worried what the other one would think about them getting saved. And then it came out that both of them had gotten saved, and they're like, wait, you got saved? Yeah, I got saved. You got saved? Yeah. And my dad went from an angry man that would yell and throw and break things to, I didn't know my dad as an angry man. My dad, he asked God to help him with that, and God did. I only remember my dad getting angry a couple times in my childhood. And most of them were because my sister lied. Which, as a dad, I know is very difficult. So, what do you want to change? I want to see people the way God sees people. That's one thing. As I look past, you know, throughout adulthood, I've seen that change. But I want to see it continue to change more, that I see people how God sees them. You know, when I'm online, which I do sometimes to frustrate myself, I see people post things, and it drives me nuts. And I start typing, you know, a response sometimes. And then I go, no, that's not helping the kingdom, right? That's not helping what really matters. So I erase it. And usually I send it to my wife so someone can see my genius. But a lot of times my first thought gets erased. Because really, I want to point people to Jesus. And I'm hoping that's what we want as a collective group, is to point people to Jesus and not necessarily to point people towards, you know, whatever else that might be important to us. And I don't want to fill in that blank, because so many of those things are so divisive that even here, where I'm sure many of you would agree with me on some of the things that I love and am passionate about outside of this, those don't matter. What matters is the kingdom and what God's doing. parenting and grandparenting is connecting our kids to those resources. As a body here, are you connecting others to those three resources, to reading God's word, to prayer, and to this community? Are there younger people that you talk to, that you go out of your way? No matter how uncomfortable those teenagers are, no matter how uncomfortable those young people are you going out of your way to talk to them and make sure that you spend a little time so that they can see what this spiritual life looks like at your level? I'm hoping that we are. I know I was reading online and it said 20% of the average church does 80% of the work. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case here, but if it is, think of how you can connect, how you can connect to this community and help. And if you're like, what is this guy talking about? I won't be here next week. I'm just here this week. But really, think about it. Think about how you can connect to this body and help other people to connect. So Joseph, he starts having these dreams. And they're recurring dreams. And he keeps telling his brothers and his father about how this, in his dreams, you all bowed down to me. And his brothers are like, Joseph, we've had it. Stop talking about it. We're not going to bow down to you. We don't even like you, Joseph. And even his dad is like, enough, Joseph, with the dreams. Now, I used to think, why on earth would he keep telling them these dreams? They obviously don't want to hear it. They obviously don't like it. And there's a couple things going on. One, these dreams are from God. And so he can't keep them bottled inside. This is something from God. The second thing is, he's 17. And now that I have 5 kids, I can tell you, kids will talk about their dreams on and on. I've got one kid in particular, Connor. So my 7-year-old, he talks about his dreams. And he's got this vivid imagination. So there's some point about 5 to 45 minutes into him telling us about our dreams where it's obvious that it's not a dream. This is his imagination still going, right? And it just goes and goes. And as a loving father, I really want to listen. But as a human with other things to do, it's really hard. So that's just a little glimpse into me and how I'm not a perfect father. Definitely a lot of work to do. And my son's really creative. I think he's going to be an author or something. One of those long book kind of guys, you know? So Joseph's brothers are tired of hearing about these dreams. And they decide that they're done with this guy. They're done with Joseph. They decide to kill him. Right? Laughter, right? It's because it's like, that's a leap. We went from not liking your brother and tired of hearing about his dreams to wanting to kill him. And their brother Reuben says, no, let's not kill this guy. He's our brother. Let's put him in a pit. And then in his mind, I guess he's thinking, according to the verses there, I'm going to summarize a little here because it's like 5 chapters, and we're not going to, it's a long story. But it's a great story. I encourage you to read the whole thing when you get home. So Joseph, they decide to put him in a pit. Reuben says, no, let's put him in a pit, and I'll save him later, right? So he gets put in a pit, and they decide to sell him to slave traders. And the reason I think this story is so important right now in our lives today is because Joseph is an example of someone who followed God when his worst far exceeded any of our worst, right? Running out of toilet paper is not the same as slavery, right? Having to wear a mask in the grocery store is not the same as being hated by all of your siblings to the point where they want to kill you. It's not, son. So Joseph ends up, chapter 39, Genesis 39, in an Egyptian officer named Potiphar's house. And here we see Joseph huddled in a corner, crying about how his parents and grandparents ruined his life with their terrible parenting and their ultra-blended families and their favoritism. No, that's not it at all, right? No. Here we see Joseph continuing to do what God wants him to do, and we see what made him special in Genesis 39, 2 through 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So here we see the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord caused all he did to succeed in his hands. Now, there's something active there that Joseph can't just sit in the corner. He actually has to do things, right? He's doing stuff to serve his master. He's putting others first. At camp, that's one thing that we as we were evaluating camp over the last year, there was a lot of time to evaluate camp. Because like so much of what you guys normally do, what I normally do, didn't happen, right? And it was disappointing. It was frustrating. And at times it made us cry. Because here, we're part of a camp. I'm the program director. Mitch is the executive director. And this camp's been there having summer camp since 1934. And this is the first summer we weren't able to do camp. And at times, that was devastating. Because here on our watch, you know, it feels, there's a part of us that's like, and even though God's in control of it, it's like, it's devastating at times. And there's just, you know, there's times where there's no words for how you feel about, like, feeling like you let down the ministry, you know? And Joseph is a great example. Joseph is a great example here because he works hard no matter what situation God allows him to be in. And then he gets to see success from that too. So I'm wondering what God's going to do this summer, but I'm hoping for to get to see some of that success. My family for, I don't know, 6+ months has been praying every morning. We have alarms set at 10:02 to pray for the right staff to come along to camp, to some of the different ministries that we're a part of, to, you know, good news clubs and to your church and to the churches of the divide. We've been praying that the leaders would come alongside because the harvest is plentiful, but the harvesters are few. And so we've been praying for that. Joseph here, he's a man of character. What is character? The moral attributes that make up a person. I heard it once described that character is who you are when nobody's watching. And if we're followers of God, then our character should reflect that relationship. Joseph, we get to see his character several times because no matter where he goes, he comes out looking great. No matter what's accused of him. We even see Potiphar's wife try to lay with him and even ends up accusing him, and he ends up fleeing that situation. He ends up showing his character through that. Genesis 39:20, so after that, Genesis 39:20 says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed." Not everything will be successful when following God. But the right things, the things that God wants, those will be. We're not always going to have success in everything. This isn't a prosperity thing, right? But I know that God wants to bless us, and he wants to bless us in doing the things that he wants us to do. 1 Peter 5:10 says, After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This next verse, Romans 5, 1 through 4. This verse is great. So several of the verses keep coming up from, there's a Christian group called Seeds Family Worship. And they're a family that write songs based on verses. And we play them for our kids. We start Anna, our youngest one, we start her day off every morning. She wakes up early. And so whoever gets her a bottle of milk, sets her on the couch, and starts Seeds Family Worship so she can listen to. And as our morning's starting, as we're all getting up and getting ready, we all hear these same verses. And it's amazing how many verses start to come to your mind as you fill your mind with that. And they're great songs. We, at one point, so we decided we love these songs. We want to put a priority on the things that matter. And I tell you that because I want the same for you guys, to be able to put that priority on the things that matter. So we decided, you know, all these different streaming options and stuff, we're going to buy the complete selection of Seeds Family Worship. And so it's DVDs and CDs, and it's a full set of all kinds of verses to music. And we buy it, and it doesn't come, we don't see it, and some neighbor stole it out of the mail and tore it up all down the road and back. And we're like, oh, that was $150 torn up and down the road. Better order another one, because it's important to us. We decided that we got to set this aside. This is important. And, you know, it was a bummer, you know, to lose all of that, just to have it destroyed by someone who doesn't care and who wasn't going to even, like, if they took it home and watched it, that'd be great. But no, they tore it up and broke them all up and down the road. But it was important. And so I encourage you to those things that are kingdom-minded, those things that get you and those around you excited about the things of God, like, let's put those as a priority together, right? All right. So Romans 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. What an encouraging verse. Character produces hope. So Joseph's in jail, and he's got this character, and in him, it's producing hope. So he has hope that God's going to do something great with this, and he doesn't know what it is, but he starts by noticing and caring about those around him. We see that because he sees the cupbearer and the baker, and he sees those two guys, and the Bible says that he sees their faces are down. You can't see someone's face down while you're looking at your phone. You can't see someone's faces down while you're not looking at people and caring about them. But he's looking at them and he's caring about them. And so he sees their faces are down and he asks them what's going on. And they decide, okay, well, we'll tell you, right? And so they tell him about their dreams. We're running low on time, so read about the dreams later. So Joseph correctly interprets these dreams. And the dreams, one of them, it's a great dream. The other one, really similar, not a great dream. But Joseph correctly interprets these, and it leads to him down the road, because he gets forgotten about, it leads to him getting out of jail and ends up being the right-hand guy for Pharaoh, the leader of their known world. He ends up being the second in command under him, and he gets to interpret Pharaoh's dream, which ends up saving their known world. Because he gets to tell them to put aside for 7 years the greatness that they're going to have so that they can go through the famine. So Joseph, caring about others, noticing others, serving others, leads to him saving millions of people. Now, for us, I'm not saying that every time you care about people is going to lead to saving millions of people, but it could lead to that person coming to know Jesus, or to someone turning their heart back towards Jesus. Joseph says in Genesis 50:20, he summarizes all of those emotions and says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Joseph is a great example. He's a man of character, doing what is right when nobody's looking. He trusts and obeys God, and he teaches us to be others-focused. I want Ian to read Psalm 98. Yeah. Come here, Ian. Test. All right. You want to read it here or there? Okay. Yeah. So this is my oldest, Ian, and he's going to read this for us. Go ahead.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness to the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Thanks, Ian. All right, thanks, bud. We serve a great God. We serve a God worthy of praise. I appreciate the opportunity to come and get to share. As I came up here, it's a little daunting because one, I haven't done this in a while like this. But two, you guys have an awesome pastor. You guys are very blessed. Out of all the pastors I get to work with, Pastor Jim is one of my favorites. And you guys have a great pastor. Oh, yeah. And then when I heard the other guys come up here, and I was like, man, that's good. Man, that's good. Man, that's good. It was like, God, at least just help this to go reasonably well. Because you're blessed. What a great team of guys that you have. So anyway, thank you for letting me come. I want to pray for you, and then I want to talk just briefly about camp and some of the things going on there. So let me pray for you guys and your church and this time. God, I thank you for this opportunity to be at Pioneer, and I thank you for the people here, the people that love you, the people that are serving you. God, I pray that you would help all of us to focus on you and to focus on each other, the community you've given us, that we'd be a blessing to each other. God, I pray that you would encourage those that aren't as connected to connect more, that they would be able to encourage others and be encouraged by others. And I thank you just for this time that we could look at your word and see the example of Joseph. In Jesus' name, amen. So, at camp this summer, we're planning to have camp. The county, the health department, is in charge of whether we're able to have camp. They haven't explicitly said that, you know, what that's going to look like, what we can do. We do want to do what they want us, like we want to work with them on this. We have a great relationship with them and have for years, so we don't want to ruin that. They have been really good with us, so we want to do that. But they have told us to get our water tests, to start getting our water ready, to start getting stuff ready. So I see them pushing towards us starting and opening, and we've been working hard at that as well. We don't know exactly what that will look like, but registration is open online. Registration to volunteer is open. We would love to have some of you come out and join us. We have plenty of positions available for all ages. We have people. We need people in nursing. We need people in maintenance. There's always things to fix, especially when campers are there, right? We need people in the kitchen. Even just half a day for a week, half a day per day for a week would help tremendously. And it's beautiful up there, right? It's just a great place to be and hear the kids enjoying the camp that God has given them. So please consider joining us. We are looking for cabin leaders most, because that's our biggest need. A cook, one of our, like if you're skilled in cooking and have done big group cooking, we're looking for helpers as well as cooks. So talk to me after. I'll be here. I want to talk to you more about some of those options, but we do need more people. This year, I have a couple quick things I want to share. I'm trying to look at that clock, seeing our time here. So, what time is? Oh, at 11? Okay. Cool. I'm going to blame those awesome guys that took some of, no. Okay, so I do want to share with you guys a testimony of God working this summer. So we had Oliver, my youngest boy. Okay. I'm only 15 minutes over. If we were Ukrainian. Anyway, so this last summer we had, before the summer we had 200 trees and tops of trees fall down during a terrible storm. And as we looked around, we're like, how do we even clear some of this? And God brought some guys with heavy equipment to help us. That was tremendous. They killed weeks of work in one day. Giant burn pile raging all day long as they dumped trees into this fire. It was pretty cool. So then we have our sister camp, Mount Hope. They came up with their staff because they weren't having camp and they had summer missionaries. So they brought them up to help us. And we worked all day, and then we went to the pool. And some of the kids, they have camp kids, we have camp kids. We all went to the pool together. The youngest kids were all playing outside the pool area. And unbeknownst to us as we're talking, Oliver, who at the time was 4, went to our house to have Carissa get him dressed to go in the pool. And he ran down to the pool and jumped in the deep end. And we didn't know. The adults were talking. And I look over to the side of the pool, and there he is, crying his eyes out. And I'm like, what's the matter, Oliver? And he wouldn't talk. He was just devastated. And I hug him, and I said, what's going on? And he said that he had jumped in the deep end, and then he'd called out for me, he'd called out for his dad, and he heard me say, I'm coming. And this is a kid that can't swim. And he gets to the side of the pool, walked in the pool, and got to the side and climbed out. So in the midst of this, a devastating summer for several reasons, we get to see God miraculously save Oliver. And it's in my just emotions and in my life, it has changed how I see my kids. It has, like, there's so many things that have come out of that, like, I can't even put words on all of it, right? But it's amazing to see that God spared his life. And then now, he's the one that comes in our room middle of the night. And Chris is like, you can't let him sleep in our bed just because God saved him. And I'm like, but it's hard, I'm like, I'm so thankful for every time I get to hug that kid, that God saved his life. And that so God is working even in those, like, extreme difficulty. He's got extreme grace, right? Now, for camp, some of the changes, we used to have camps for like 6 different weeks. High school was co-ed. Now our junior high and high school camps are all separated into, we've combined them with what used to be called Crew. Most of you have heard me talk about Crew. It's a service camp. Now our junior high and high school camps are part of that. We don't have Crew. Our junior high camps will start off serving the younger kids at camp. And the reason we're doing that is because we love to see kids serve. As we look at camp and as we evaluated camp, we saw that one of our best assets at camp was giving kids a place to think about someone else, to not think about themselves 24 hours a day. And so Crew is now part of those camps. So the first 3 days of junior high and high school ages, they will serve younger kids as well as have camp activities. And it'll still be campy, but it'll also include some time to think about someone else and to focus on that. And so we're excited to see what God does with that, because we know that serving others, I mean, Joseph's a great example of that, right? So as we look towards the summer, that's one of those big changes. So you can pray for that. With that comes a lot of kids that might be like, I don't really, in fact, I've already gotten phone calls about, my kids don't really want to serve others. Really, I have. But I know it's so good for them. I know it's so good for them to think about someone else and to put others first. So anyway, pray for that. That's one of our biggest changes. And then pray for us as we try to find staff, because it was hard 2 years ago when we had staff from the previous year to rely on. And here we are after not having camp for a summer, and it's looking really hard. So please pray for those staff to join us, especially like 18 to 45. 45 that loves being with kids still, right? So that age group. The age group for cabin leaders has expanded over the years. Yes, that's true. Anyway, let me pray one more time, and I'd love to talk to you after if you're not having to rush out because I'm late. God, I thank you for camp and all that you're doing at camp and all that you have done over the years, God. We thank you that we get to be part of that ministry, that I get to live there with my family, and that Pioneer gets to be a part of it through support and prayer for the McAfees and us. We thank you so much for Pioneer and their love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good. TJ, did you bring a little video?
Oh, I did, but...
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We're gonna give you the choice to leave if you need to. If you can stay for just a couple more minutes.
It's 2.5 minutes, I believe.
2.5 minutes long. Let's do a worship song, And we'll pray, and then we'll show the video. And if you need to go, you can go quietly. God, we are just incredibly grateful for your mercy and grace. Father, you are our cornerstone. You said to Peter, Peter, upon this rock, Peter had said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And God, thank you that we have hope and that we have strength in Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for Camp Forward. I thank you for TJ and for Carissa and their four lovely kids and for Mitch and Tammy and their years of service at Camp Forward. And I pray that this would be a great year, a time where kids would make solid decisions about following Christ and serving Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would call many to be pastors and missionaries and leaders. This is a time where the world is dark and the light needs to shine. And Father, I pray that we would use this summer in the lives of people and for Christ's sake for eternity. Father, we thank you and we pray your blessing on Camp Forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's watch the video. It'll get you excited about what's happening up there. And then when the video is done, you may be dismissed.
Oh, I love to hear the song of creation, the wind and the rhythm of the rain. Oh, the thunder, it speaks of your power, but there's something in the sound of the saints. I've been washed in the roar of the ocean, found peace in the echoes of a cave. And the trees of the field, they clap their hands, but there's something in the sound of the saints. From the lips of those you saved, a redemption song will rise, with a sound so full it cracks the sky.
Thank you. And you know what, TJ, people don't have to serve all summer. They could be a cook for a week. They could be a helper for a time. If you want to go and stir pancake batter and make pancakes and wash dishes, well, that would be a tremendous blessing for you. It's about an hour and 15-minute drive from here. It's not that far. And you could go and help minister to these kids and serve them. So God bless you. Thanks for being here today. Yep. Amen. We're dismissed.